Thank you, Paul. Good to be with everybody today. This morning I'd like to talk with you about a very specific sin. It is a sin that does more to keep people from Christ than any other sin. It's a sin that does more to destroy homes than any other sin. It's a sin that's doing more to damage our nation than any other sin. It causes more Christian failure than any other sin. And this sin will fill hell more than any other sin. It's the sin of pride. And it's a dangerous sin. One of the most dangerous things about it is that it's so deceptive. Many people who are infected with it will deny it all day long, and some of them really don't know that they're proud. Proud people can be proud of their humility. One time many years ago when I was a teenager, I went over to another state and stayed in the home of another young man. I won't tell you who he is because you know him too well and some of you are even related to him, but I stayed with this other young man and on his wall he had a plaque that said, "When you're as great as I am, it's difficult to be humble." It's a dangerous thing. Proud people can be proud of their humility. The story is told of a Sunday school teacher who was teaching the children about the parable of the publican and the Pharisee that Dwight read a minute ago from Luke 18. The publican wouldn't even lift up his head to heaven, but bowed his head and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The Pharisee stood and prayed and said, "Lord, I thank thee that I'm not as other men. I fast, I tithe, and I'm glad I'm not like this publican." And Jesus said that one man went home justified rather than the other. This children's teacher was doing a wonderful job teaching that lesson, but when she finished, she looked out at her students and she said, "Now children, aren't we grateful that we're not like that old Pharisee?" Pride comes in through the back door. She was proud of her humility, and it's a dangerous thing. The Bible has a lot to say about pride, and we should look, first of all, at what pride is not. Number one, pride is not the same thing as having a good, realistic, biblical self-image. In the Lord Jesus Christ, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. That's a high position. Jesus Christ himself is not ashamed to call us his brethren. We are the sons of God. Is that megalomania? No, it's Bible truth. In the 13th chapter of the book of John, Jesus, knowing that he came from God and that he went to God, washed his disciples' feet. He knew who he was. He said, "A greater than Solomon is here." Was that pride? It was not. It was reality. And there is never a time that pride is realistic. Knowing who he was, he washed his disciples' feet. Pride is not the same thing as a good self-image. Humility is not so much thinking poorly of yourself as humility is just not thinking of yourself. Humility is not so much thinking less of yourself as it is thinking of yourself less. Pride is not the same thing as a good self-image. Also, pride is not feeling good about a job well done. If you say of someone, "He takes pride in his work," I hope you're not talking about the pride that the Bible talks about, because the Bible never says one good thing about pride. To take pride in your work in the biblical sense would be wrong. But to have a sense of satisfaction, to have a sense of gratitude, that you were able to do a good job and accomplish something worthwhile, is not the same thing as pride at all. It's something that we should feel good about and grateful for. The rest of the laboring man is sweet. Why? He can feel good about what he did. He tired himself out doing something worthwhile. We were built to work. It feels good to accomplish something well. And that is not the same thing as pride, as the Bible uses the expression. It's also not pride to feel good about something that somebody else has accomplished. When we're feeling that way, sometimes people say, "I'm proud of you. I think we misspeak when we say that. We're pleased with the person, and it's good to give recognition. It's good to give tribute to whom tribute is due, honor to whom honor. But if we're going to use Bible words in Bible ways, we dare not be proud because there's nothing good about pride. And we dare not say we're proud and thereby teach our children to say it. When we work, we ought to do a good job. When our children make good grades, we ought to be pleased about that, and we ought to tell them so. They ought to feel good about that, but not proud. Pride is an awful thing. We don't want it in ourselves, and we don't want to foster it in other people. Why is it in the church that when there's trouble, people often take sides along family lines, along family lines? I know people who will back family right or wrong. Does that have anything to do with pride? I have wondered. Pride is a terribly destructive thing on every level. We've talked about what it's not, but what is pride? The first thing is, pride is an attitude of independence from God. It's an attitude that says, in effect, if not in actuality, that I don't need God. Stay out of my life, I can handle it myself. The man who wrote Invictus said, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. Well, obviously, Captain, your ship can sink any ordinary day. But his was an attitude of independence from God. You may say, well, I don't have that problem. But let me ask you, do you pray in your personal life? Do you pray on a regular basis? Prayerlessness is a symptom of not feeling the need to pray. Prayerlessness springs from a spirit of independence from God. If anybody has trouble with prayerlessness, the root problem may possibly be pride. Pride is an attitude of independence from God. It's also a spirit of ungratefulness to God. God has blessed us so much. Sometimes we might get the feeling that we deserve the things that God does for us because we've earned it and it's ours. Paul asked a very penetrating question on this point. What do you have that you have not received? What do you have that you did not receive? You may say, well, I worked for it, and I'm willing to stipulate that you worked and you worked hard. But who gave you the muscle and mind and ingenuity to do that work? Who gave you the energy to do it? Did you create that? You don't have one thing that you have not received. And you don't have one thing to be proud of. None of us do. We don't have a thing to be proud of. This is why pride is so ridiculous. Pride is also esteeming yourself better than other people. A proud person becomes irritated when corrected for mistakes. A proud person accepts praise for things over which he or she has no control. Beauty, talent, the ability to get things done. These are gifts. Pride will not admit mistakes. Always has an excuse. Always finds an alibi. Pride refuses to take counsel from other people. Pride is in competition with everybody else. Pride does not just want more. Pride wants more than somebody else. C.S. Lewis, in one of his radio talks back during the Second World War in England, said, pride gets no pleasure out of having something, only out of having more of it than the other man. We say that people are proud of being rich or clever or good-looking, but they are not. They are proud of being richer or cleverer or better-looking than others. Lewis said, it's the comparison that makes you proud, the pleasure of being above the rest. I want to talk with you this morning, as time allows, about five things, five ways that pride will devastate your life. Number one, pride defies God. Pride is a fist in the face of God. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the problem of pride. Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Those are seven things that God hates. It's not a hit parade, it's a hate parade. Number one on God's hate parade is pride, a proud look. Why does God hate pride? Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. That is very strong language. God even listed here ahead of murder. He listed ahead of sowing discord. Pride contributes to all these other things that are mentioned after it. If you're proud, you're an abomination to God. Why does God hate pride so much? It was pride that made the devil the devil. It was pride that took a beautiful, created being that God had pronounced very good and turned it into Satan the devil, the adversary of God and the accuser of the brethren. The national religion of Satan's kingdom is pride. That's what Satan's kingdom is built on. No wonder pride defies God. One of the qualifications for the eldership is not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. In other words, the same condemnation that the devil fell into. One of the prime requisites for the eldership is humility, and nothing will keep an elder more out of the devil's reach than genuine humility. Why does God hate pride? Because pride made the devil the devil. Why does God hate pride? Because pride ruined the human race. When Satan came to tempt Eve in the garden, I don't think any of us think that the temptation was primarily to eat that particular kind of fruit, because the garden was full of fruit of all stripes and varieties. The temptation was, God is trying to keep something back from you. Eat this, and you will be as God. The same thing that caused Satan to fall turned the human race into bringing sin into the world. Pride defies God. And when we look around us in the world, we see the heartache and the tears, the sorrow, the war, the strife, pain, agony, shame, primarily caused by the sin of pride. Pride has wrecked the human race, and God is against it. C.S. Lewis said, as long as you're proud, you cannot know God. A proud man is always looking down on things and people. As long as you're looking down, you can't see something that's above you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Grace and pride are antithetical to one another, and God resists the proud. It's not that God merely doesn't help the proud. This is not a passive thing. God sets himself in battle array against the proud. That's not what any of us want God to do to us. Pride defies God. Number two, pride defiles man. Pride comes out of the heart and defiles the heart. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 21:4, a high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Even a person who would plow his field without thanking God for the sun and the rain and the germination process is proud and self-sufficient in his own mind. If you have pride, even when you plow your field with it, he says it's a wrong attitude because you don't think you need to be thankful to God. Where does that pride come from? It comes out of the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 7:21 that it comes from within, out of the heart. Proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride. That comes out of the heart. You've heard that old question. What's worse than finding a worm in your apple? And everybody knows the answer. Finding half a worm is worse than finding a worm. Because when you see an apple with half a worm, you know you ate the other half. But if you see an apple with a wormhole in it, how did that worm get into the apple? From what I've read, I've found that the worm did not bore into the apple. The worm bore its way out of the apple. The egg was laid in the blossom before there was an apple, and then the worm hatched inside the apple and made its way out. The pride in us hatches out of our own nature. Does that mean we're born in sin? It does not, even though that's often assumed. But it doesn't mean that at all. Robert Burns was wrong in his poem when he said to God, thou knowest thou hast made me with passions wild and strong, and listening to their witching voice has often led me wrong. So God, it's your fault, don't blame me for my sin. No, that doesn't work at all biblically. Well, I think we're all aware of that. What we do is we take the self-preservation that God built into us as a good thing, a good instinct that God placed in us for our own good, we twist that and pervert it into something that's ugly and awful. But it's our choice. We decide our attitudes. We decide our actions. Pride comes out of the heart. Pride defies God. Pride defiles man. Everybody who's not in Christ needs to be born again and become a new creature and submit to the sanctifying transformation process of becoming like Jesus. Because we were born with a nature that inclines toward pride. Pride defies God. Pride defiles man. Third thing, pride divides society. In strife, in war, in divorce, in church splits, pride is a major factor. Rarely is there a massive conflict. Rarely do we see massive conflict between the humble and the humble. They tend to try to get along with each other. Proverbs 13:10 says, "Only by pride cometh contention." Proverbs 28:25, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife." If God resists the proud are out of fellowship with God. Anybody out of fellowship with God tends to be out of fellowship with his fellow man. Pride divides society. There are many, many arguments that occur which are really about pride, no matter what the subject being discussed is. It's ego against ego. There are no problems too big to be solved. There are only people too small to solve them. If you put the problem out in the middle and attack the problem rather than one another, you can solve the problem. But often we get to the place where we're no longer trying to solve the problem. We're trying to win the argument. You know that's true. And that's pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Proverbs 13:10. You know, you can be right and still be the problem because of your attitude. Do you have contention in your home? Pride is a major factor. Only by pride cometh contention. The problem is ego against ego. If you can take ego off the throne and put Jesus Christ on the throne of your heart, and your wife will take the ego off of her throne room in her heart and put Jesus Christ on the throne in her heart, then the Jesus in her is not going to fight the Jesus in you. And the Jesus in both of you can take care of the problem. Pride is the chief cause of misery in society. What's the problem between the races? The problem is pride. Racial pride, no matter what color you are. That's the problem, and God is dead set against it. A fourth thing, pride dishonors life. And this is a great irony. Pride dishonors life. A proud person is wanting approval from other people. A proud person desires praise, honor, esteem. He wants to feel exalted. And what does he get through pride? As a general rule, he gets dishonor. Pride dishonors life. Proverbs 11:2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Does anybody want shame? No. What does the proud person want? He doesn't want shame. He wants honor, but he doesn't get it in the long run. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, but before honor is humility. Humility comes before honor, not pride. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. The phrase is repeated again in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride shall bring him low. Isn't that ironical? That the proud man wants to be praised and vaunted and honored, and the thing he wants is the very thing he loses, the admiration of other people. The proud person ends up with contempt. Conceit is a disease that makes everybody sick except the person who has it. And really, he's the sickest one of all. Jesus taught us very plainly that the way up is down and the way down is up. God hates pride. I cannot prove to you that Isaiah 14 pertains to the devil. I know it speaks primarily of the king of Babylon. But I can see why so many people through the years have thought that it pertains secondarily to Satan, or that it might, because of all the perpendicular pronouns there, the I's. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne under the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit, and they shall see thee narrowly, shall look upon thee. They'll have to squint in order to see you. And consider thee, saying, is this the man who made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms? If this does apply to Satan, then we've got Satan here saying, I'm going up, 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 I. And God says, you're going down, 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 down. And if this applies to Satan, it may mean that one day we'll look across that great fixed gulf and we'll say, is that Satan over there? I can just barely see him. He's hardly visible at all. Contrast the attitude of Satan with Philippians 2, 5 through 9, which talks about the attitude of Jesus Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, and God hath given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When we follow Jesus Christ in genuine humility, rather than Satan in his arrogance, we may be given in the days to come a greater position than Satan even had before his fall. I say we may be. We will judge angels, whatever that means. The very thing that people want, they lose. Pride dishonors life. Have you heard this make-believe story? Aesop told this story in a form, and it's been told many times since. Once upon a time, there was a frost up in the mud, the cold mud of Michigan. And this frog that was feeling the first frost that were coming decided that he needed to do something about that. He saw some Canadian geese near him and he said, where are you guys going? They said, we're going south for the winter. He said, I want to go with you. They said, you don't have any wings. He said, but I have an idea. He said, let's take a large twig. And this goose over here will take one end in its mouth. And this other goose over here will take the other end in its mouth. And I'll latch on to that twig with my mouth in the middle. And you can fly me south. They said, do you think it'll work? He said, let's give it a try. So we got one big Canadian goose over here with the stick in his mouth. And the other big Canadian goose over here with the stick in his mouth. The frog got hold of it in the middle with his mouth. And they're all flying south. They got over Indiana. And a farmer looked up, and he saw two geese with a stick and a frog. And he said, would you look at that? That's the most amazing thing that I have ever seen in my life. I wonder whose idea that was. And the frog said, mine! All the way down. Just had to have the credit for his idea. And it cost him his life. Pride dishonors life. Number five and last, pride destroys souls. Pride populates hell. Pride ultimately destroys all that it controls. Pride is the road to ruin. Proverbs 15:25, the Lord will destroy the house of the proud. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 18:12, before destruction the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. The seeds of eternal destruction are in pride. Nobody can be saved apart from the grace of God, and the Bible says that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Pride is just the road to ruin, and that includes national ruin. America is so proud. God told people how to be a nation that God could help, that God could help along. National ruin, domestic ruin, financial ruin. Some of you right now may be in financial bondage. The general reason for that is that your neighbors keep buying things that you can't afford. And you think you have to have them to keep up or to help your children keep up. National ruin, financial ruin, emotional ruin. If you're a proud person, your emotions get very thin because you're controlled by circumstances. You don't have the right car, the right clothes, the right decorations, or the right reactions from other people. But primarily, pride is a spiritual sin. Some people are just too big for God to use, but you can't be too small for God to use. Pride destroys souls, and pride is filling hell. I want to conclude, as we began, with the story of the publican and the Pharisee from Luke 18. The Jews hated the publicans because the publicans were crooked and because they were collecting taxes for the foreign invading force of Rome. And Israel was occupied by Rome and Roman law. The word publican in that day was a word of condemnation and scorn. The Pharisees, on the other hand, were the most religious of the religious. A Pharisee would not even eat an egg that was laid on the Sabbath day. If a mosquito was biting a Pharisee on the Sabbath, he wouldn't even swat it, because that would be to go hunting on the Sabbath, and he wouldn't do that. If he got a heavy tack in his shoe, he would pull it out before the Sabbath, lest he carry a burden on the Sabbath. That Pharisee that Jesus talked about was so religious, the Lord said he prayed with himself. He said, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, especially this publican here beside me. The publican, on the other hand, smote himself on the breast and wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Greek inflection there is the sinner. He saw himself as the chief of sinners. He wasn't thinking about somebody else's sins. Jesus said two men went to the temple to pray that day. One of them went home dignified in his own sight, and the other went home justified in God's sight. Which of those two best describes you today? When we ask and answer that question honestly, we may know where we are with reference to pride. Dignified or justified? We're going to leave this lesson with you as we conclude this morning. If you're outside of Jesus Christ or have anything to bring before the assembled brethren here, let us know how we can assist you in either primary obedience or in asking for the prayers of the saints or to place your membership. Whatever your needs or desires are, let us know how we can help you by coming to the front as we stand and sing the invitation number.